supply of misinformation, Mr. Know-It-All.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T.
And now another useless fact.
Well, here we are, Wednesday morning again, just after 11 o'clock, which means Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener is back. And you could be the one we crown today, because every week we bring you a question. And if you're the first person to call in, yes, you have to call, not text. By the way, I always appreciate reading through the text, even though you can't win that way. Thank you to the people who say, look, I don't have time to call in, but this is my guest. It's kind of fun to play along on the text line. You won't win that way, but it's, hey, it's entertainment for us, if nothing else. 1-877-332-8255 is the phone number. You have to phone to win. We also ask that you haven't won in 2025. So in the 4 months that we've been doing it this year, you can't have won already. Those are really the only rules. And then be the first one with the correct answer to the question. You win. Thanks to our friends at Little Town Apparel, an incredible T-shirt just for people that are given the distinction of being Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener, which, by the way, last week was Rob Regeer, who is joining us from just outside of Herbert, Saskatchewan. Rob, how are you today?
I'm really good.
That's good. You didn't get rain or snow yesterday, or you got a trace amount, right? Not a whole lot?
It tried to snow and sprinkle for probably about 4 or 5 hours in the morning. The pavement was wet, so
yeah.
It didn't stick around, though.
And I know you and people in that southwest corner could use the moisture right now.
Oh, yeah. Pretty badly.
Yeah. You hear the reports about people in the Wolseley and the Kipling area. They got 17 inches of snow yesterday, which...
Yeah, course, I'm jealous.
As it melts.
I've had about 8 years of drought in a row now.
So. Well, let's hope we get some... There's still time for spring showers. I know seeding is underway, but farmers would gladly take a day or two off if it meant a nice, slow, steady rain to soak the ground, which would be good. So listen, Rob, last week I asked the question... Saskatchewan has the most of this out of Canadian provinces, and you knew the answer was what?
Most maintainable roadways.
Roadways was the right answer. Over 250,000 kilometers of roadways, the most of any province in Canada. Well, I hope that some of your friends, some of your neighbors, at least acknowledge the smarts that you knew you had all along after that big victory.
Yeah, I had a few... pints of beer bought for me.
Hey, so, that's all right. I love hearing that, Rob. That's great. Yeah. Okay, well, we're ready to get into it today. We're going to crown a new winner, and I know you have got today's question for us.
I do.
Let's hear it.
You're all ready?
I am.
This is Canada's biggest employer, but only ever for one day at a time.
All right. This is Canada's biggest employer, but only ever for one day at a time. Interesting. Rob, thank you so much for being a great champ, and thanks for calling in.
Yep. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
All right. 1-877-332-8255. The question is, this is Canada's biggest employer, but only ever for one day at a time. What do you think? We had some early people. I mean, people want to get in on the call, and it could pay off for someone like Josh in Saskatoon. You were the first caller we got, Josh. The question
is, it Elections Canada?
Oh my gosh. I knew it was going to happen. I knew there was going to be a day when we got the winner on the first caller. And today's the day, Josh. Good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Elections Canada. I said to Libby when we looked at this question, I said, you know, with the timing of this election coming up, this could be an easy one, but yeah, you never know. I asked a couple of people around the office. They were nowhere near as smart as you, Josh, because they guessed a few other construction-like jobs and whatever. You are right. Elections Canada. On the day of the federal election, Elections Canada becomes the largest employer in the country. The agency hires about 250,000 people in communities across Canada. You just obviously knew that, or just because it was so topical? How did you have that information?
It was a guess.
Well, hey, good on you. Good on you for the guess, Josh. What's your last name?
Veltkamp.
And where am I getting you today? You're in Saskatoon?
I'm in Saskatoon.
And what do you do for a living?
Equipment operator.
Ah, okay. What's your specialty? What's your favorite piece?
Excavator. I work with a metal recycler.
Oh, okay. Good stuff. Well, listen, I appreciate the fact that you are listening to us on the show. And have you ever won this before?
No.
Never won before. You're a first-time winner. Well, we're going to get you to hang on the line. Adam's going to talk to you off-air because we got to get information where to send your T-shirt. You are officially the new champ, Josh. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener. When I talked with John about this, when I was taking over the show and we were going to continue on with Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener, he said, I've had it both ways. I've had it where people get it in the first guess, and I've had it where it takes people some time before they get it. Up till now, I think three guesses was the record. We've had numerous times where we were pushing it to the bottom of the hour before we got the right answer. Today's question, I was fearful it might be too easy. This is Canada's biggest employer, but only ever for one day at a time. Elections Canada. Josh from Saskatoon is the one that knew that, and he was the very first caller. In fact, he called in during the news, got himself in the queue without even having heard the question. So good guess. Good guess. A couple of other points, by the way, about Elections Canada. It's required by law to hold federal elections on a Monday. If the Monday happens to be a federal or provincial holiday, the election would be moved to a Tuesday. And another thing on ridings, just a kind of an interesting note, Canada's smallest riding, Toronto Centre, only 6 square kilometers, but has nearly three times the population of Nunavut, which is over 2 million square kilometers, Canada's largest riding. Congratulations again, Josh in Saskatoon. Takes over as the reigning Saskatchewan smartest radio listener champ. And again, today's question, this is Canada's biggest employer, but only ever for one day at a time. Josh knew the answer was Elections Canada. Well, as we finish up a little bit early, it gives us a chance to reflect on a few other things that we have been talking about this morning. And one of them, of course, is the fact that the federal election is just around the corner. Monday is the day if you didn't vote in advance polls, which, by the way, 7.3 million people did. That's up 25% from 2021, our last federal election. And many are pointing to an indication that there's going to be a good voter turnout this time. I would hope so. And I would encourage you, I am one of those people that likes to wait until election day. And it has been to my detriment in the past because it sometimes can be lined up. But I do encourage you to get out and vote. If you haven't already, get out and vote on Monday, the federal election. We talked about it this morning. In fact, one of the things that we talked about on the open line segment of this show was whether or not we would be better with a two-party system federally in Canada. And the reason that we even went there, the reason we're even having that conversation is all polling is showing and indicating that something might happen in this election that hasn't happened for two generations. It's been two generations since Canada held an election where more than 80% of the vote was cast for one of the country's two main political parties, so the Conservatives or the Liberals, when combined, are likely to breach over 80% of the vote again. In the meantime, the NDP are at 8%, the Bloc at 6%, the Greens at 3%, People's Party of Canada at 1%. So it started a conversation. I've read some of it online and thought, you know what, I'm going to bring this onto the show this morning. And it got a lot of interesting conversation from many people. Cindy from Saskatoon, and I have quickly learned to appreciate Cindy's writing. In fact, from time to time, Cindy drops me an email with just a couple of pages of thoughts on whatever topic. She's a brilliant writer. So I like to take the time to read her texts, even though they're longer than a typical text would be. Here's what Cindy sent in on the notion of would we be better with a two-party system federally in Canada? She says, to the notion of only a two political party system, I say no thank you. My opinion is based on the fact that a two-party only system creates a tug of war between two teams. Therefore, the country is always pulling one way or the other. And it requires nothing much in the way of improvements with either party because they often get a voter's support that is cast based on the desire to prevent the other side from winning mentality rather than the notion of, I like what your party is doing. The fact that our pendulum keeps swinging just denotes that neither of our main two parties are really operational for the Canadian public as a whole, revealing that there is vast room for improvement on both sides of the political fence. What limiting options to only two parties does is close the door to future intelligence that may indeed be more effective and efficient at politics. So she goes on. It's a long text, but there was, you know, it started off out of the gate, a lot of people speaking out in favor of going to essentially a two-party system. But then I would say it leveled off and we started hearing from callers and texters that were saying, no, absolutely not. I don't think it's the right way to go. I don't know if I did an official poll on it, which I didn't, by the way, I would have been close to a 50-50 split on that. So I don't think there was a definitive winner one way or the other on the notion of would we be better if we went to a two-party system. But we did see an overwhelming desire from many people to see some sort of government reform when it comes to how we vote, how we elect government, how government represents us, what the Senate looks like, should it be elected as opposed to appointed, and lots of other the things around that. And we were hearing from even people that live in Canada that came from Europe, for example, or the UK, comparing the systems that they have there. So great conversation again. Thank you so much for everyone that weighed in on that. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. That's me in the spot. Well, it happened today. I knew it was going to happen eventually, that we get a winner on the first call on Saskatchewan's Smartest Radio Listener. And Josh Belkamp from Saskatoon was that person. Josh knew the answer. Today's question, this is Canada's biggest employer, but only ever for one day at a time. A couple people texting me going, come on, Evan, that was too easy. Elections Canada was the right answer. Congratulations to Josh. He wins the T-shirt. He wins the bragging rights. He wears the crown. And we will do it all over again on Wednesday of next week. So right off the start of the show this morning, we were talking about this Privy Council report that was released ever so quietly on the weekend, almost as if they had to release it, but they didn't necessarily want a lot of attention drawn to it. So this is the report. It's called the Foresight Brief by Policy Horizons Canada. Policy Horizons Canada, essentially the Privy Council think tank. The Privy Council, a pretty important group. They're the top of the federal public service. They are federal employees that all have jobs in different sectors of the federal government, but come together as a Privy Council. They provide support and advice to the Prime Minister and the Cabinet on basically the state of the country, constitutional matters. They're a nonpartisan group, but they are a legitimate. I mean, the Privy Council holds an important role. So this report is not to be dismissed, but the report itself is terrible when it forecasts and provides foresight into what Canada might look like 15 years from now. What is Canada going to be like in 2040? Saying things like upward social mobility will be uncommon. Hardly anyone believes they can build a better life for themselves or their children in this future. Canada will become less attractive as a destination for migrants. It will be seen as a country where upward mobility is uncommon. People will crowd into gated communities for protection against social, economic, and political conflict. I had Tom Korski on this morning, our friend Tom Korski, who joins us regularly from Blacklock's Reporter, and I asked him for his initial thoughts on this Privy Council report. Not very flattering for Canada. This is what Tom had to say.
It's absolutely dreadful futuristic report. It's called The Future Lives, / Social Mobility in Question. It's by a group called Policy Horizons Canada. And this is a group of researchers, and they're government employees. You pay for them, and you paid for this report. And they took existing trends, and they extrapolated them out 15 years. And they came up with this absolutely horrific scenario of what Canada would be like in 2040.
Yeah.
And what do they describe? They said, well, only the wealthy will have a post-secondary education. Only people whose parents built up equity will be able to afford a decent home. That they foresee that wage earners who have anything on the go will be tempted to flee the country. This, why do I characterize it? Why don't I just state what they wrote? More people in Canada, including recent immigrants, may emigrate to jurisdictions where they perceive social mobility and higher standards of living are easier to attain. They depict a scenario, Evan, where people will crowd into gated communities as protection against the social disorder. This is on the level.
Yeah.
And they perceive that the poor will resort to poaching wildlife for food. What did they say? People may, I quote, people may start to hunt, fish, and forage on public lands and waterways without reference to regulations. Small-scale agriculture could increase. Governments may come to seem irrelevant. End of quote. We just described England in the 1820s. This is our future for 2040. It's unbelievable. Adam.
That's Tom Korski. And part of the discussion this morning, I said we are now well under a week from the federal election. Curious to know Tom's thoughts on some of the interesting storylines developing as election day draws near.
I think there are a couple of very far-reaching things that have happened and not happened in this campaign. My two cents, Evan. One is immigration. It's an extraordinarily important issue and pretty hot to handle. All government research, in-house research has shown that. And the campaigns do not want to talk about it. In fact, in the English language television debate, we did an item. They didn't even pick it as a preferred topic for the candidates. It was one of the candidates, the Bloc leader, who raised it. It's a very big issue. My opinion, I think the genie is out in the bottle on immigration. I think a generational consensus on immigration has been broken, and it will be that way for many, many years. The other thing that strikes me is, forgive my candor, is the media landscape. There has been a predominant theme by media covering the campaign about poor, pitiful me. No one understands my troubles. Why is my life so hard? I think some media coverage has been chippy and unfair. And I think there are some media executives that are having trouble accepting that the media landscape is broken forever, that the days of sitting down every night and having Harvey Kirk read you the news of the day is gone, and it's never coming back.
Tom Korski, who is the managing editor of Blacklock's Reporter. If you want to hear the whole interview, we talked to him at 8:30 this morning. Check it out on the website, wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen. Always a great conversation with Tom. All right, we've got a couple of very important fundraisers happening. Two totally unrelated things in the province. Those will be where our conversations go coming up after 11:30. We're starting with Sean Taylor from Saskatoon Search and Rescue, fundraising director, and a couple of important events they've got coming up. That conversation is coming up next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Well, good morning and welcome to the show. Evan Bray, it's great to have you here on this Wednesday morning, still kind of smiling and shaking my head at how quickly we got Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener this morning. Josh Veltkamp from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, was our winner. The question, this is Canada's biggest employer, but only ever for one day at a time. Yeah, Elections Canada. Maybe an easier question today, but a few people on the text line were jumping up and down saying, Evan, I was so excited that I actually knew the answer this week, because it can be frustrating week after week. It's, you know, you're taking stabs at it, but didn't actually get there. But Josh, good job on that. Well, we talk a lot about the importance of safety. In fact, I think as we're heading into a federal election, there's a lot of talk about community safety, safety and security within our country. And safety takes on a lot of different terms and meanings. And I can tell you from my old job, safety also is not something that just falls at the feet of one organization. It's not just, for example, a police agency that is involved in safety. Yesterday, we had volunteer firefighters on the show and talking about the role they play and community safety. Volunteers, and Saskatchewan is known for this, but volunteers and organizations that provide a bit of an augmented assistance to providing extended community safety in Saskatchewan are so very much appreciated. And that's where we're going with my next guest. Saskatoon Search and Rescue is a volunteer group that helps with rescue missions across the province, but they've also got some great proactive work they do. And an old friend of mine, I'm not going to say old, Sean, but a former colleague that I would have worked with in my policing days, Sean Taylor, is joining me in studio. Sean is Saskatoon Search and Rescue Fundraising Director. Sean, thanks for being here.
Oh, excellent. Thank you, Brett, for having me today.
Yeah, it's good. So search and rescue is something that I can remember many times working with search and rescue organizations through my career, but don't seem to get a lot of notoriety. They're there when we need them, but we, you know, I think this is the best part about our chat today. We get to learn a little bit. What drew you to get involved with Search and Rescue Saskatoon?
Well, to be quite honest, I had a former colleague who convinced me that it was an organization I should have a look at.
Yeah.
And had I looked at it and whatnot. And once I got to introduce the organization, the people involved, and saw how committed they were to the program and working in the program as volunteers, I was sold. Mm-hmm. I was sold, and it got me in. And as my former career, I brought about 65% of the skill set to the organization. So there's still a large learning curve
sure.
for me.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about what search and rescue organizations do? Because I think, you know, people think search and rescue, you're out trying to find people. That's part of it. But boy, just give us a bit of a broader overview of what that organization is about.
Well, our main focus is search and rescue itself. And that takes on the aspect of going out and look for missing persons, usually mm-hmm. dealing with families on their absolute worst day.
Yeah.
And that's will be our primary focus. But another focus is for our team is the preventative search and rescue. Mm-hmm. So it's like crime prevention, fire prevention. This is a preparedness program for aimed at all age groups so that they are going out with a relative mm-hmm. preparedness for should they get lost. So right. there, it's a little bit of a skill set, and it ranges from, you know, a program for, which is Hug a Tree, which is for kids upwards of 8, 9 years old. Mm-hmm. Then the next one is Survive Outside, and then the last one is sort of targeting adults.
Right.
But it's just a preparedness program and creating that awareness.
And to me, I love the proactive nature of it because often we talk about responding. If you think of it from a policing standpoint, you're responding to crime. Well, what can be done to prevent it? That's always the million-dollar question. And so I give your organization credit. Let's talk a little bit about Saskatoon Search and Rescue before we get into a couple of these specialized areas. How many people volunteer with Saskatoon Search and Rescue? How big is your organization?
Our organization has approximately 43 members.
Okay.
So they're all volunteers. They make up the team, plus they make up the administrative board.
Is there a typical person who volunteers for search and rescue, or do people come from all walks of life?
All walks of life. We have those who have previous or current emergency service experience, mm-hmm. as well as some people in the actual medical field, as well as everyone else that comes from it. But a common thread throughout is the love of outdoors mm-hmm. and the need to work as a team and give that component of giving back to the community.
Well, I'm hoping that we're going to do a couple of things this morning. We're chatting with Sean Taylor, Saskatoon Search and Rescue Fundraising Director, has been a longtime member of Saskatoon Search and Rescue. One of the things I hope we can do is maybe recruit some new people for you. So in doing so, can you give us an understanding of what is expected of someone who volunteers with a search and rescue organization like yourself?
Well, in essence, once they're taken on board the organization, there's a commitment of, at least by the CSA standards nationally, that they complete a introductory course and complete it successfully. But our, because of the additional program with Project Lifesaver, our teams or our members have about 60 hours that they have to put in prior to being certified for field experience. And, you know, it's combined everything from survival techniques to search techniques to, you know, anything that we might require or even medical training. Because once you locate your subjects, and oftentimes we do locate them in very remote areas, and a bit of, we have to be able to care for our patients or our subjects until more advanced care arrives to look after them.
Sure. Is the can you give us a couple of examples of operational calls you've had in the last, let's say, the last year?
Well, in the last year, a number of calls, a majority of our calls, and especially in the last year, is in rural Saskatchewan. So, sure. and a couple of them involved people who have driven down roadways in vehicles and got themselves stuck in the middle of nowhere near anything. And one of the things that we teach as part of even the programs here, even as basic as the hugger tree, is to stay put. Mm-hmm. Stay put. You're easier to find, especially with a vehicle on a back. Someone may be able to spot you from the air and send a crew in. But once you get away from the vehicle, then it becomes much more of a task to locate you and be able to bring you back to where you should be.
Sure. Yeah. You know, when I think about, I saw a stat that your team, just the Saskatoon search and rescue team, which you've just said is 43 members strong, yeah. Put in somewhat, was it 4,000 hours?
No, it was eight last year. Was 8,000.
8,000 hours.
Over 8,000 hours last year. And that's combined training, searching, admin work and meetings involving administration. So
yeah, that is so outstanding. So let's talk about a couple of your programs. I want to get to your fundraiser in just a second, but I'm interested in specifically. Let's start with Project Lifesaver. What is that about?
Well, Project Lifesaver is something that came on board about 2018. Mm-hmm. We identified an issue that there's a large number of individual or people in the city who had cognitive impairment that were going missing on a regular basis. And it's cognitive impairment includes Alzheimer's, dementia, autism, Down syndrome, or acquired brain injury. Mm-hmm. But often those individuals have exit-seeking behavior. And they don't recognize the dangers that they're getting themselves into once they're outside. And it takes a lot of resources, a lot of time to locate them. Project Lifesaver is something that one of our colleagues did a lot of research into available systems for monitoring or tracking or locating individuals with that, and came up with this particular system, which comes from the States. And what it is a radio frequency transmitter, and each of them are individually had their own frequency they operate off of that the subject wears. And it's not much larger than a wristband, or not a wristband, but a watch.
Yeah.
And it emits a signal on that FM frequency. And once the individual is missing, we have records of that individual and what frequency they're wearing. But we also have nine particular receiver units that we have around the city that will pick up that frequency. So we tune our instruments into that particular frequency, and from the get-go out the driveway, we're already searching.
Yeah.
And in most instances over the last 5 to 7 years, the average search time is down to in and around the 30-minute mark.
Wow. That is, I mean, I know the importance of timeliness, especially in extreme weather when it comes to finding someone. So that is outstanding.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that's the target is within 30 minutes. And, sure. You know, that's is extremely costly for the police department and other agencies that go out looking for them. So the quicker can you locate yourself. I refer to it as hide and seek, advantage us.
Yeah, advantage you for sure. Sean Taylor is my guest, Saskatoon Search and Rescue Fundraising Director. Okay, let's talk. I want to talk next about Adventure Smart. You talked a bit about Hug a Tree. I've had guests on the show, search and rescue guests and experts that have talked about these types of proactive, positive, preventative steps that organizations like yours are taking. Tell us a little bit about Adventure Smart and what you're doing there.
Well, Adventure Smart is a national program. So it's delivered, we're mandated to deliver it as an organization involved in the national organization. So, and we target, especially young kids, and even the middle-age group. The idea is to go out prepared, and even a minimum amount of preparedness, will allow you to stay reasonably safe. Mm-hmm. For a period of time when you go missing. So the basic principle is, one, to stay put. So hug a tree.
Right.
Hug a tree, stay put, and attempt to stay warm. So build yourself a nest. So you're up off the ground, tuck all your clothing articles in. So keep the body heat inside of all the clothing that you're wearing, as well as prior to going anywhere, let somebody know where you're going and when to expect you back. And the last part, at least in the hugger tree part, the program, you're always teaching kids not to talk to or respond to strangers. In this particular incident, we encourage the kids that if someone is out and they're calling your name and you're missing in the bush, to respond to those calls of their name, because it's usually someone looking for them to provide assistance.
It's got to be very positive, rewarding work for your volunteer group to be able to do that sort of thing, because I feel like, the other work, the operational work, the actual searches can be rewarding as well, but this you can really feel the tangible difference you could be making.
Yeah, it's a great way to engage kids and get them thinking about at least going out and have that little bit of preparedness. Mm-hmm. You go to the next step, and the focus there is okay, well, you're going out, you take your backpack, well, take a few things with you. And it's referred to often as the 10 essentials. Mm-hmm. And those 10 essentials vary from person to person, but, you know, basically include things like water, food for sustenance, something that might be able to keep you warm, something that's waterproof, a compass, flashlight, matches, right. All those sort of things that, should you find yourself in a bit of a tough spot, you're able to, you know, make yourself a fire, keep yourself mm-hmm. warm. And, you know, even with the handout as part of the program, whistles and the silver blankets, the infamous silver blankets, even those things, see, they can multiple purposes for them, mm-hmm. including signaling as well as keeping you warm. So it's a
great program. And by the way, I should say SaskatoonSearchAndRescue.org, the website where you can find out more information. Sean Taylor is my guest. Before we're done, though, I want to talk about, you've got a fundraiser coming up, because I know when we've got an organization like yours, the importance that you have, it's also important, even though you're a volunteer group, there's cost to training and certification. Equipment, those types of things. Can we talk about what's coming up here?
Sure. What we do as an annual, our large annual fundraiser is present to the public the Vancouver International Mountain Film Festival. We do it on an annual basis. And it is our primary fundraiser for the year, as we don't receive a whole lot of financial assistance provincially or federally.
Right.
We basically rely on the public for donations to help run our operation. So this particular fundraiser, and I can tell you that what we make off of this, and we're close to selling out.
Good for you.
We're close to selling out. We probably have a dozen tickets left that are available. This fundraiser will help keep the lights on for the year.
That's important.
And that's absolutely, and it's not cheap.
Yeah. So what is this about, this film festival?
Oh, the film festival is a focus. There's many, many films of outdoor sporting events and mm-hmm. things like that. So it's everything from skiing to cycling to snowboarding to surfing to climbing,
sure.
and things like that. And what we do as an organization is review probably in the neighborhood of 50, 55 films with a board of 12 and come up with 8 to 10 that we all agree on that will address a lot of the audience that we draw for the event. And we have a formula that we work it out. And each year we seem to, you know, pick out some winners.
I love it. Where is it? When is it happening? Where is it happening? And where can people get tickets quickly?
It's currently every year it's located at the Broadway Theater, and Monday night, April 28th at 7 o'clock. There are some tickets available, and they're sold through our sponsors for the program. I know that there are just a couple of tickets left at each of these locations, Gripit East and West, Escape Sports, and Bruce's, mm-hmm. and a lone ticket was sitting waiting to be picked up at Ebb's.
Okay. So we are literally snagging the last few tickets.
Yeah, just the last few.
All right. We're going to have to end our chat. We're up against the clock, Sean. This has been a great chat. Thanks for what you and the team at Saskatoon Search and Rescue do, and I appreciate you coming in to visit today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
We'll chat again soon. Sean Taylor, Saskatoon Search and Rescue, and again, the website, saskatoonsearchandrescue.org. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Thanks again to Sean Taylor, Saskatoon Search and Rescue, for coming in, talking about the great work they do. They are, just like any of the search and rescue organizations in the province, so important to adding to safety. And the proactive work is outstanding as well. Don't forget, they've got their big fundraiser. It's their major fundraiser that basically funds them for a whole year. A film festival happening at the Broadway Theater next week on Monday. And the few tickets are still available. You can check it out online. Go to their website. Lots of great information. SaskatoonSearchAndRescue.org. All right, we're going to shift our focus now to another fundraiser happening in the province, one that I'm actually involved in that's happening this weekend. The conversation about the CNIB Guide Dog Gala happening on Saturday night will continue next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.